All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is a renterswarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Buku Daiquiris and Cajun Eats on Richmond, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What's up, sports mappers? Welcome to the fray on a Thursday on The Usual Suspects. Hey, if you're a suspect, you've been with us since the get-go, the jump, 1 o'clock, as the first 2 hours of the show are behind us. But if you missed any of that, ESPN975.com, click on the show tab. You can catch up on the hours you missed. And while you're there, you can download the app. Therefore, you can take us anywhere, everywhere, and never need another excuse for why you missed any portion of the show. It's Barry and I from Buku, 5600 Richmond Avenue at the corner of Richmond and Chimney Rock. Stop on by for a late lunch. Blitz is going to be here till 7, so you might as well come in for an early dinner. Grab some food, watch the game, lots of TVs, lots of pretty people, and, of course, unbelievable food. Great Cajun food, unbelievable daiquiris, and just a friendly staff top to bottom that treats everybody with a smile on their face and a lot of TLC, which you love here. And so come on by.
Clarence is shaking his head yes that the food was legit. And not only is he a chef, but I believe he's from Louisiana. Is that correct? New Orleans. So when you know that you got not only a guy from New Orleans, but he's also a chef and he's vouching for the food at Buku, you know it's legit. Get out here. What are you waiting for?
Wait, what? Clarence is from New Orleans?
Yes, what he said. I would have never guessed it. Who knew?
God, why the hell did you pick the Saints?
Just a Saints fan, yeah.
Oh, I never would have guessed it.
Big-time Pelicans fan. He's always calling about the Pelicans. We can never get him to shut up about the Pelicans. It's just nonstop.
There's no doubt about that.
Pelicans
he and the brow and
somebody had texted the show and said, you know, what they were surprised that Nick didn't have hair, that Dell looks like Scarface. But then someone else texted the show and said, I don't know what Clarence looks like, but I would imagine he looks like Cleveland from Family Guy. Little bit. I mean, that's pretty close.
There's been some inaccurate
Google
guesses
Cleveland
on things
from the
in the
Family
past.
Guy.
I can't say that that's completely
I kind of
want to
take a
inaccurate.
Picture. Can I take a picture of you, Clarence, and put you next to the Cleveland from the Family Guy and tweet it out? I can do that? All right, I'm going to do that. At Barry is funny, and then I will put this next to the Cleveland, and we'll see if we'll put up a poll. No, I'm just kidding. We won't do that.
Why not? We do it for everything else.
Yeah,
we might
exactly.
as well.
So I was mentioning at the break, and someone literally just texted about it, but they said, I just read an article on ESPN about another football league. And yes, you read correctly. Ricky Williams is starting a spring football league.
So there's no drug testing?
There can't be. I would imagine that anything goes. You can shoot up heroin on the field. It wouldn't matter. But, yeah, Ricky Williams announces a spring football league owned by former NFL players. You talk about bottom of the barrel. It's going to be not even folks that play in the XFL. It's going to be even worse than that.
Yeah, I mean, but here's the thing. I would assume that their aspirations are that they want a league that becomes like the feeding ground, like the G League is for the NBA, where you get a spring league, and if you get some guys that really show out and play well, that they can get a look in training camp with some NFL squads and hopefully, you know, open up some doors for them. But, you know, obviously you can call it whatever FL you want, but it's not going to be the NFL if people are expecting it to be the NFL. Like I said, but with Ricky Williams and some of these guys involved, if they got smart and put it in the college towns in the off season in the spring when there's nothing going on football-wise, but you know there's a football base and a lot of these teams get a lot of the alums from their schools, maybe you can get, you know, some decent crowds and see some decent talent. I don't know, but it just doesn't seem like it's a recipe for success. We've been there, done that, and tried a lot of these different leagues before.
Yeah, if you think I don't want to watch the XFL, I really don't want to watch a spring football league.
I'm with you.
I think it's good. You can keep some of these dreams alive and whatnot. That's fine. But I just don't see how it's going to be profitable enough to be sustainable.
I completely agree. And like I said, and at least maybe they learn a lesson from the XFL. Don't go putting it in NFL markets, especially their biggest, because that's a recipe for disaster.
Yep.
So we'll see how that all plays out. But that doesn't sound like – again, I do think that between the ice packs and the marijuana that if that Ricky Williams is involved, there's probably going to be a great rehab process. A lot of guys are going to want to be on the IR just so that they can go through the rehab.
Yeah, right.
And then maybe they'll need other rehab after that.
Either that or everybody in the league is going to have glaucoma. So they're just like, yeah, I got the glaucoma. I can't see anything. It's just all – there's no passing. Just all handoffs. It's easier to see that way.
So the Rockets play tonight. I don't
Yay.
Know if anybody cares. Two teams that were supposed to be in the top four leading into the season are both one game under 500. It's the Jazz and the Rockets from Salt Lake City.
I can't wait to not watch this game.
Man,
really
if they lose this game tonight, you know, I know we talked about Paul Pierce saying the window is already closed. They've never played great. There's been the occasional James Harden explosion game with the one game where they blew him out by like 35 points in Utah. But normally in Salt Lake, they don't play well.
No.
They don't adapt well to all the environment and the atmosphere there. Now, even with a couple days off, I don't know what that's going to do for them. But Utah's starting to play better. They shot the ball really well in their last game. So it's not going to be an easy game. Utah's healthy again. So we'll see what this Rockets team is made of, because right now it looks more and more like, I know they're keeping a roster spot open and people are saying there was an imminent move to be coming where the Rockets were going to trade for someone. They need more than one player. They need help. They need a bench. They need just some semblance of some guys that can play in the NBA on a regular basis and contribute, because otherwise this season is fading fast.
They need a lot of help. You wonder if they've set themselves back too far to salvage this. I get that they're bunched together, but here's the thing. I mean, the West is, it's not, the playoffs aren't unattainable.
Right.
The problem is that whoever you go out and get and whoever gets replaced, you have to build the chemistry on the team. These guys have to practice together. There's not a lot of practicing, like that they would need that goes on during the season. You know that. They do some walkthroughs and stuff like that, or maybe some run-throughs, but most of it is going to be on the court, and they're going to have to build the chemistry, OJT, on-the-job training. And so it's going to, you know, their climb back is going to be a lot more difficult than some of the other teams like the Jazz.
You just covered it all from an internal perspective. Now I'm going to give you the external perspective on why that's also it's a tough situation right now. So many teams have gotten out to such quick starts, such fast starts. So many teams we didn't expect to not only be in the playoff picture, but not be in the top four, are now up there in the top four. So I go back to the year that the Seattle Supersonics got off to such a hot start that there was no way to catch them, and they were going to be a top four seed with home court advantage. And they got beat in the first round, but they had home court advantage, so someone else didn't. The Rockets are facing teams that got off to hot starts. The Pelicans, even through injuries, got off to a hot start. The Nuggets are on fire. The Blazers had the best record in the Western Conference. So you're taking all these Western Conference teams you thought were going to be below you in the standings, and some of them you didn't even think were going to be in the playoffs, and now they're all above you, and they're above you by multiple games. It makes it that much harder when they're dealing with that, plus what you mentioned, and you're expecting big things because after everything we know and the way they got bounced and they thought they were a hamstring away from winning it all, the expectations were on sky high, and the results are going to be very disappointing for this fan base if they don't turn it around very quickly.
When you look at the teams that are in the mix right now, 1 through 8, you going in order in the Western Conference, it's the Nuggets, Thunder, Clippers, Warriors, Lakers, Grizzlies, Blazers, Mavericks. So, and the Mavericks share, you know, the same record with the Kings. And then it's the Wolves, Pelicans, Jazz, Rockets. I mean, literally, it's Rockets, Spurs, Suns at the bottom of the Western Conference.
But look at the fact that you mentioned the Wolves, but, the Jazz, and the Rockets all were playoff teams a year ago.
Right. And now, to keep in mind, the Rockets are 5.5 out. The Mavs at the 8 spot are 4.5 out. So you're not talking about something that's insurmountable.
Right.
But if I told you, if I gave you to pick two teams in the top 8 in the Western Conference right now, 1 through 8, that are likely to fade and not make the playoffs. So Nuggets, Thunder, Clippers. We know the Warriors are going to make it, so you can exclude that. Nuggets, Thunder, Clippers, Lakers, Grizz, Blazers, Mavs. Which two teams are going to fade?
If I'm going to tell you teams that I don't think are going to be playoff teams at the end of the year, or I didn't think going into the year, it would be...
No, at the end of the year. Like, who's going to
fade?
Right,
I understand, but I would say the Clippers and the Mavs.
Okay.
Because the Grizzlies have proven that they've got it figured out. J.B. Bickerstaff doing a hell of a job. I just think, and Portland's got enough talent. Dallas has got a ton of young talent just playing really good right now, but can they do that for the long haul? And the Clippers, to me, are doing it with smoke, mirrors, bells, and whistles. I don't know how long they can sustain what they've been able to do. But, again, a hot start, like I mentioned back in those Sonics teams that were able to do that, They might be able to hang on and stick in there, but those would be the two that I'd pull out.
Well, you're not a believer in the Clippers at all.
I'm not.
Which is surprising because they have the fourth highest plus-minus ratio in the West, which means they're scoring and defending really well. I mean, they're one of the four best scoring and defending teams in the Western Conference. So but I'm with you. You don't feel like it because they don't have a lot of star power.
Who do you give the ball to at the end of the game?
It's an entire roster of role players, it feels like.
The biggest name you got is Gallinari.
But
Patrick Beverley going to be your go-to guy?
Yeah, when you look at star power, they don't have it, but they're getting the job done. I think for me, at the end of the day, I would probably have the Mavs on that list of teams likely to fade, and probably the Grizzlies. Mm. I know they've got some talent, but I'm not feeling that team, man. I don't know. I think you're right. The Blazers at backcourt, when they get it going, they're going to be hard to stop. They've got a lot of young talent, but I think for me, it would be the Mavs and the Grizz.
I told you how Luka Doncic, Rookie of the Year. Look out for the Mavs. I know you hate hearing that in Houston.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, oh, boy, between Dennis Smith
Jr. We saw it firsthand with
Luka Doncic. They are building some nice young players in Big D.
Yeah, they are for sure. Hey, listen, guys, the holidays are fast approaching. I don't know if you've even started your holiday shopping yet, but you need to get on it. And you need to make the wife or significant other in your life happy. That's why you need to get with Klein's Jewelry. I'm going to give you a number to write down right now. 832-316-1388. 832-316-1388. That is Klein's cell phone number. That is Mark Klein's cell phone number. You can reach him directly. If he's busy, he'll call you back. But call him. And you can be at the mall and have a ring that you're holding from one of these big box stores that's way overpriced and wondering, what can I get something similar like this from Klein's? He'll quote you his price over the phone. He's not afraid to do that because he knows he's going to save you a lot of money on a quality ring, pendant, bracelets, earrings, watches, whatever it is you're thinking about getting your significant other, he's got it, and he's going to save you a ton of money. And if you want something custom like I did with my wife, I had promised her that for our 10-year anniversary, I will get her an upgraded ring, whatever she wanted and the way that she wanted it to look. He made all of that happen. And look, I was so surprised at how much money I saved by letting Mark Klein go and find me a diamond, because I did it separately. I just bought a diamond by itself. And not only did he take the time to explain to me the process and how to look for the right diamond and what that means, but then he took the time to go out and find it for me around the country. I mean, it's just, you can't do better in the city of Houston when it comes to jewelry than Klein's Jewelry. And don't forget, they also do repairs. So if your wife had maybe her mom's ring or maybe a brooch from her mom that she needs to get fixed, they can do that as well right there in the store. Call them today, 832-316-1388. They are located on Westheimer, 5868 Westheimer. And an easy way to get all of this information and more is online at KleinsJewelry.com. They've been doing it since 1969. They're going to save you a ton of money. That's Klein's Jewelry and KleinsJewelry.com.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Buku Daiquiris and Cajun Eats on Richmond. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final hour of the big show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, SportsMap 94.1, as we're coming to you live from Buku, 5600 Richmond Avenue. We are here on a regular basis. You should be, too. Fantastic Cajun food, unbelievable daiquiris, great atmosphere. And again, conveniently located in the Galleria. Clarence just polished off a daiquiri. He almost fell down on his forehead. He's sitting down now before he thinks about round two, but that means just how good the drinks are here at Buku. He said the food was great as well. As Barry said, he's a chef. He should know. You should be here to check it out as well. Promo team's here giving away some prizes, spinning the wheel. So if you want to stop in, maybe win some stuff while you enjoy the eats and treats, love to see you here. And then the Blitz will be here, of course, after us till 7 o'clock. Not so good news from the world of the Washington Redskins. Alex Smith, the report came out today, has developed several infections in his leg based on the injury and then the surgery. And now this, J.P. Finley, who has a Redskins Talk podcast and follows the team on a regular basis, has said that Jay Gruden said Alex Smith's wife and family asked him not to go into detail about the situation Gruden will respect their wishes and says when the time is right, Alex himself will address the media. Dr. David Chow, who we've had on the show several times, used to be the team doctor for the San Diego Chargers, said, let's just hope this is not a harbinger of bad news. Prayers up for Alex Smith. So we had mentioned from the get-go, even without infection or any kind of lingering effects, that he may not play football again. This sounds not
good.
Yeah,
that's not good at all.
No.
That really sucks.
Yeah, this is not good news at all from everybody you talk to, a very, very good guy. You don't wish this upon anyone. Very unfortunate situation, as we all know, because it happened during the Texans game. We all were up close and personal for it. But prayers up, regardless of what your religion is or how you think about things, just pleasant thoughts and thoughts for a safe and speedy recovery for Alex Smith, because that does not sound good.
No doubt. Yeah, that doesn't sound good at all. And, I mean, God, You hate when guys get injured, but then you hate when it turns into something like that,
right,
which makes it even worse.
Think about Zach Miller last year with the Bears where an injury turned into almost losing his leg, and you're like, look, I know these guys know what they're getting into and what they signed up for, and the possibility is there for injury, but not where you're going to lose a limb.
And speaking of all this, that video you just showed me was pretty inspiring, pretty awesome. With Ryan Shazier.
Yeah, I tweeted it out at Pac-Man Joel.
So cool.
After all the things Ryan Shazier went through after being partially paralyzed and everything he went through with the Steelers, he's now doing deadlifts, and I retweeted the video. He's doing sets of deadlifts.
That's so cool.
So, he had said he's going to play again. I don't care if he plays again. I want him to walk again without any kind of limitations. I want him to be able to do the things so he can enjoy his life, but that's just a great sign. You're right. The absolute flip side is Ryan Shazier making more and more progress, and that's always great to see. So I tweeted it out if you guys want to see the video.
Yeah, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and then I tweeted out the side-by-side of Clarence and Cleveland from The Family Guy. At Barry is funny if you want to see that. I got to say, I don't see it. A little bit if Clarence didn't have glasses and a mustache and not a goatee and he had hair. But other than that, I feel like that's just somebody that was like, oh, they're both black. Yeah, that's not. There's so much more to it than just that. That's got it. Like, I don't see it, Clarence. I don't see it at all. I'm with you, Clarence. Now, when someone said Stanley from The Office, maybe a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. You don't look like Stanley either, so don't worry about it. Everybody's trying to get Clarence to look like somebody that he's not. I don't see it. Speaking of.
Maybe after that vote of confidence, this is why he's back at the bar ordering a second daiquiri. He's like,
yeah, exactly.
Geez, my resolutions are going to have to change.
We got a tweet from a guy named Mikey who reached out to me and said, what AFC team do you guys think would be the most and least favorable playoff matchups for the Texans?
What do you got?
So I'm gonna pull up the as they are standings now, and if I recall, it is Texans are third or fourth in the playoff hunt. I gotta pull it up again here.
I like them against the Ravens.
Yeah, so they are third, which means right now their matchup would be the Ravens.
I like them against the Ravens,
and that would be their matchup if they were to lose some ground and fall to four. Their matchup would be with the Chargers. I'm with you. I think the most favorable matchup of the teams currently in the 1-6 is the Ravens. Mm-hmm. It's difficult, but I feel like they would match up pretty well also against the Steelers. I still feel like this secondary play has been playing well. They can get after it on the front four when they need to. J.J. Watt is having a monster year again. He's back. You can get pressure on Big Ben, who's great in the pocket. But I feel like that defensively, this team can hold up against some of the better offenses in the NFL. And I feel like the Chargers would scare me a lot more if they had Melvin Gordon. But
sure.
I think this is still a team that can move the ball as well. When you look at what the Steelers have been doing the last couple of weeks, they've been winning, but they don't scare you like some of the others. The Chargers scare me more than the Steelers.
I'm with you on the front seven of the Texans. I'm with you on what you said about the Chargers because of the loss of Melvin Gordon. I'm not with you on the Steelers simply because of all the teams that the Texans have been playing and beating. They haven't seen a receiver lineup like they're going to see in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
You're not going to see Juju Smith-Schuster and Antonio Brown and have an experienced quarterback and have a defense that's been playing better and better. And a guy like James Conner, he's out this week, but if he's healthy, that's just another feather in their cap, a guy that can catch it out of the backfield, do a lot of things. I just – the Steelers, after a really horrible start, have turned it around. Even the games they've lost recently, they were pretty dominant against the Chargers and then fell apart. They had a couple of very inopportune turnovers. Otherwise, they were beating, for most of the game, the Broncos. I don't think the Ravens, obviously Jackson gives them a different dynamic. I don't know if they're ready to completely turn the page and give the reins over to Jackson, which I think they probably should do. But if Flacco comes back, just an even more advantageous matchup for the Texans. But I'm just not ready to say that the Steelers are a team that the Texans can beat.
Okay. We agree to disagree, I guess. I was trying to look up because I can tell you the plus minuses and what the Steelers defense gives up versus the Ravens and what I mean, like, well, and then Chargers. Chargers are a plus 91 right now. Because that offense can move the ball.
Sure they can.
On the Chargers. And Steelers, I mean, they're hanging with them point for point, but the difference is in the defense. I mean, that Chargers defense is so much better. So the Steelers right now sitting at a plus 64, the Ravens at a plus 83, thanks in large part to the fact that their defense is just all world.
Where's the Texans
defense? Giving up 214. Texans are a plus 67. So better than the Steelers, not as good as the Chargers or Ravens. Giving up 235 and scoring 302. So not quite offensively able to hang with the likes of the Steelers and the Chargers and the Ravens. Actually better than the Ravens. Defensively, though, top tier. I mean, they're giving up less points than the Steelers, giving up less points than the Chargers. So, they're doing really well. And I was going to pull up the rankings, but I'll do that in the next segment as we get there.
Okay.
But right now, I want to tell you about Thrive Plus because, look, man, I'm actually headed to Dallas this weekend. And when I'm on the road and I don't have to drive places and I'm able to hang out and just chill and get my drink on a little bit, I love to do that. And I also take with me some Thrive Plus. And the reason I do that is because, man, I'm 44 now. I can't drink like I used to. When I was in my 20s, I could drink a little bit and I didn't suffer from it the next day. Man, not anymore. A couple of drinks even, and I feel it the next morning when I don't take my Thrive Plus. But I'm telling you guys, get you some Thrive Plus if you like to drink, even if it's just on the weekends. It's super easy to take. You just take 3 capsules before you go to bed or after your last alcoholic beverage, whichever one you remember, and you wake up feeling better. And if you don't wake up feeling 50% better the next day, they are going to give you your money back. How cool is that? What Thrive does is it reduces alcohol's negative effects on your liver and your body by helping you remove and fight some of those toxic byproducts that you maybe not process without Thrive Plus. And I'm not a scientist. I don't know all of the science behind it. I just know it works. I know you've seen it on Shark Tank before. You have they've got like 5 PhDs on staff. They've got Ivy League graduates. So they've got folks that know what they're doing and have done the research and the science behind Thrive Plus, and it's why it works so well. You can get it online at DecideThrive.com. You can get it from Amazon. Just search for Thrive Plus. Here's the cool thing. We're coming up on the weekend. Order today before 4 p.m. You will have Thrive Plus on your doorstep the next day. That means tomorrow you'll have Thrive Plus ready for the weekend, ready to get your drink on. One more time to get it ordered, DecideThrive.com. You can search Thrive Plus on Amazon and get that order in before 4 p.m. so you get it tomorrow. I don't drink without Thrive Plus, and neither should you.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Buku Daiquiris and Cajun Eats on Richmond, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final segment, I mean, final half hour of the show. 2 segments to go in the big show. Barry, you're having a whole heck of a lot of fun with Clarence here as you are doing Doppelganger Central with one Clarence who is having a joyous time. I don't know who suggested that, but you've got it narrowed down a lot more than you did before.
Yeah, and so what I'm going to do is he even said, well, it was Clarence that suggested it. He said, yeah, I don't really think I look like Cleveland. I don't think I look like Stanley. He said, everyone tells me I look like E-40. And oh my God, he nailed it. So yeah. I put that together and I'm about to reply to my original tweet that has him in Cleveland if you want to go see that. So at Barry is funny. This is definitely what Clarence looks like. Nailed it for sure. He is E-40 with a goatee. There is no doubt about it.
Yeah. It was a good call. So lots of stuff going on in the world of sports today. We already touched on the fact that Rockets play tonight. wrapping up the road trip before they finally start to get some home games and the schedule lightens up a little bit. But a tough one at Utah tonight. You've got Thursday night football between the Jags at Tennessee in a game that I don't think anybody cares about. You and I broke that down. If you missed that, check the podcast. But it probably a very bad and very close, low-scoring game possibly.
I have bad news.
Uh-oh.
I just got an email.
Okay.
And it's from this website called Have I Been Owned? P-W-N-E-D. Now, owned is a
internet. P-W-N-E-D spells owned?
Owned. It's like a internet slang word. It's back from like when you would play video games online and someone would kill you. They'd be like, ooh, you got owned. And there was a typo one time and they did a P instead of the O. And it just became a thing, right?
I learned something.
So, yeah. So there's this website called Have I Been Owned with a P.
Okay.
And what it does is it tracks your information. And if there has been a data breach somewhere, it will alert you that, uh-oh, you've been owned. Someone stole your data. So I just got this email. You've been owned. You signed up for notifications. Here is the known breach of your data. Your email was scraped along with the other compromised data, including email address, employers, geographic location, job titles, name, social media profiles. In October and November, researchers found out that people were scraping data from LinkedIn. So if you are on LinkedIn,
really?
Joel, you might be one of the 66,147,869 people that have had their data scraped from LinkedIn.
Fantastic.
So there you go. That's always nice to get one of those emails and let yourself know. Oh, great. There's someone else now that can send me spam.
And I still get messages from it, but well, that's not good to know.
As a public service announcement to you and others who maybe are not IT savvy,
What are you trying to say? I'm not IT savvy?
I think the proof is in the pudding.
I mean, I thought Clarence.
Thank you, Nick.
Clarence went right to me to ask me an IT question today.
Yeah, I think I know. I think you just thought he was looking at you.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay, I wasn't sure.
Yeah, check out Have I Been Owned online. HaveIBeenOwned.com and sign up, and it'll alert you when someone steals your. You know what would be the ultimate? If you enter, if you sign up on Have I Been Owned, and then someone owns Have I Been Owned. And now they have to let you know about their own data breach for your account.
I honestly thought you were going to say, it all comes from Gal Media, where everybody on Gal Media is like, oh, wouldn't that be fantastic?
Although there have been people that have, I feel like, have sold our information from within our own ranks.
Oh, really?
Why else would
call
I be getting
out.
Some
who
of the emails?
Thinking?
Nope, I'm not saying.
You're not
going to
call them out?
I'm not going to do it, no.
Because, you know, if I'm you in this situation, I'm going, come on, call them out. Just call one name.
Give me a hint. Okay, they work here. I'll give you that hint. They work here.
Okay.
It was Nick.
He did it. I'll do the bing for Nick.
Yeah.
There you go.
What?
Nick, you're out here selling our information on the black market, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I am doing that.
You could have at least denied it a little bit.
Nick, how many times did you get paid just to give up all of our pertinent information at work?
I'm not going to reveal that information.
Well, I mean, the statute of limitations probably has expired in the next 10 or 15 years.
I can't incriminate myself on the zillions of listeners that are listening to the show right now. I'm not incriminating myself.
You got that part right.
Zillions.
Zillions.
I like the way you think.
Absolutely.
No doubt about it.
It's good.
Did you see this story? I don't know if you caught this or not. We were talking some football. But one of the names that we talked about that's going to be a hot name in NFL coaching hasn't surfaced previously because he has a job. We had talked about Josh McDaniels. We know that the Browns' job is open, the Packers' job is open. Now there's two credible sources in Chris Carter coming out first to break it out, as well as Paul Feinbaum, saying that Jim Harbaugh is not happy at Michigan. He's not happy with the way things have gone, the way he's been treated, the resources that he has, and he's dabbling with and considering a return to the NFL. Your thoughts?
I feel like, is this a case of he just feels like he's not going to win at Michigan? Or is this a case of, all right, I'm ready to go make some money again in the NFL?
So part of what he said is, yes, he knows Michigan has resources. I'm like, resources, I don't know how he could be worried about. They're saying he has resources, but they're not to the level of Oklahoma, Alabama, and the cream to the cream of the crop in college football. I'm thinking about a coach that took his whole team to, like, Italy to practice in the offseason.
Right.
On, a private plane. Seriously, how much money is not enough? Because I think it has more to do with the fact that He still hasn't beaten Ohio State. He knows that now Haskins is still at Ohio State. He knows he got shellacked this year and next year at home if he gets beat again at Michigan via Ohio State. That is one of the biggest, most important barometers for the coach at Michigan. And quietly, the fan base who clamored for him because he played under Bo Schembechler and he was the golden child coming back home to Michigan.
So what you're saying is it's better to leave than get fired?
Pretty much. And the fact that his reputation when he was with the Niners, he was a sought-after commodity. He was going to NFC Championship games and should have won Super Bowls that they could have won against Baltimore and getting close several years in a row. I just think that he had success there. I think that a lot of franchises look at it. He's still young enough. He's innovative enough. He knows how to control. We talked with Lance yesterday about the difference between a Lincoln Riley who has control of his program and coaching staff in college, but how big of a difference it is when you take that big step to the NFL. He's been there, done that.
Agree with everything you said, and think about one more thing. There's a lot of rules in college football.
Recruiting.
There's a lot of things that – there's a lot of lines you have to walk. There's a lot of things you have to pay attention to. There's a lot less of that in the NFL because the players are held more accountably as individuals.
Yeah.
And maybe he's tired of that too. Maybe he's like, you know what? In the NFL, I can still coach. I can – you know, it's different, but maybe it's pressure, but it's not the same
pressure.
See
the Patriots.
And it's not the same restraint. It's our constraints.
The NFL don't have compliance guys.
Right.
Because they don't have to worry about it. But I'm sure he hates his compliance guys that say, coach, you can't have contact in practice today. Coach, you can't do this because you're not allowed to have the recruits talk to these people or go out on the town with these people. There's limitations all over the place. I think you're right. I think that plays into it. I think all of it and the fact that he hasn't had success, won a national championship, been in the Final Four, or been able to beat Ohio State, let alone win a Big Ten title, or be in the Big Ten championship game. You might want to get out before you're fired.
Well, and not only that, but you're able to climb to number four. You had the playoffs in your sights.
You were there all year.
You were there. All you had to do was beat your rival. All you had to do was win the one most important game of the year, and you are set for a very long time. Because if he wins that game this year, and they make the playoffs, he's not going anywhere. I don't care what he does for several years. And now it's like you said, there's probably rumblings behind the scene that, look, he can't get us over the hump. Maybe he's too old. I don't know what's going on. Plus all of the restrictions and everything else. So, I could see this coming to an end.
He controlled his this was the first year he really controlled his own destiny.
Yeah.
It looked like he had the leg up on Ohio State finally. It looked like he was going to win a Big Ten championship. And now here he is on the outside looking in again and looking at the pasture not looking any greener for him next year when he starts comparing to his ultimate barometer, which is Ohio State. Sure, you'll have a new coach, but Haskins comes back.
Yeah.
All the guys are coming back.
Yeah.
They're going to be loaded up again.
Yep.
So, all right, we got one segment to go on the show before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, Jong, and the Blitz. Fred and AJ already in the house. You could be here, too. Stop by Buku. Early dinner, maybe just stay here until dinner. Watch a little of the football game tonight. It's a great place for you. 5600 Richmond Avenue, corner of Richmond and Chimney Rock. Stop on in and see the entire crew. The promotion team is here as well. Clarence is still here hanging out because he probably is not sober enough to drive. But we'll be back to wrap things up. It's the usual suspects on Sports Map 94.1 and ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Buku Daiquiris and Cajun Eats on Richmond. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final segment of the big show. It's The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. We're going to put a bow on it and turn it up till 4 o'clock, and then Fred and AJ will take over. They are also here at Buku, 5600 Richmond Avenue, corner of Richmond and Chimney Rock. We've been telling you all show long, as we always do when we're here. Great Cajun food, great daiquiris, great environment. You should watch the game here. Hang out with the Blitz, catch a little of the game, catch some great food and drink, and then catch an Uber home, because if you are like Clarence and you're on your second beverage, it can knock your socks off.
We were talking to Clarence at the break. Yes. He said he's going to be out on a cruise. And I asked him, and I don't know if you were aware of this, but apparently on cruises there used to be the top deck, which was topless. And I asked him if this is still a thing, and he had no idea. So apparently he's not climbing stairs. That's first and foremost. That is out.
That serious?
You're
being totally serious. That the top deck of a ship?
Yeah, I've only been on one or two cruises in my life, and I was always told that there's a top deck or a spot on the top of the cruise ship where you can go and sunbathe topless. And I don't know if they still do that on one of the two cruises.
Like, how do you get to the top of the ship, though? Like, how does that?
Stairs. You got to walk up there. You climb the stairs to the top deck.
Where are the stairs?
On the ship. Yeah, what are you talking about? Man. Where are the stairs?
Oh, okay. I'm just curious.
They're
the exact location of the passageway to the
top of the ship. There's stairs all over the ship.
It's not like a Clipper secret passageway is what I'm saying.
No, that's correct. It's not like the Clippers where it's like a hidden dungeon of toplessness. You just climb these stairs, and I think there's like a gate or something that you have to be – there's somebody – I don't know. I walked into it on accident. Look, it's one thing to be able to tan topless. It's another thing if you should.
The French Riviera?
No. Most of the women that I saw the one time – I'm glad it was at the top where you couldn't see it. It was not a pretty sight. But I think that's usually the case. Like, I've never been to a nude beach, but I feel like most of the people that go to a nude beach should not be going to a nude beach. It's like all of the old.
So it's not Carissa Thompson.
It's all old fat dudes, and that's probably it. Because I don't know that if any hot chicks ever go to a topless beach or a nude beach. Have you ever been to one?
In Vegas.
In Vegas,
the Mandalay Bay pool situation, which is topless, it's worth the price of admission.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
But now I'm saying like a beach, like in Cali, there's a nude beach in California where you can just go and be nude.
Yeah.
And I just feel like there would be no one that would go to that would be hot because they're like, I don't want a bunch of pervs just staring at my naked body while I'm trying to tan.
And I don't want sand in hard to reach places.
I mean, now you can just wash out. You bathe when you're done.
Or you get some of that stuff you were pawning
the
off
ballsy.
Yeah.
Get some of that ballsy to wash it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never done either one of those. So I have no idea. I don't.
So you got Clarence all thinking he doesn't have to pack the swimsuit now.
Yeah, Clarence, you're going to do the – well, you already will be topless, so you can just go up there and let the boobs do their thing, huh?
Right.
Okay.
Let the moobs eat, and then just go with the banana hammock until you get up to the third floor, and then just...
Oh, no. Are you
drop down and give them 20.
Are you a Speedo guy?
Nope.
Never?
Never have been, never will be. Thank
now,
you.
When
Not
I
even
was,
bikini briefs. I'm sure back in the day you were a bikini brief guy.
I was a Speedo guy because I was a diver. Did you know that? I was in diving.
What haven't you done?
I was... I'm trying to remember what... Was it like 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade? I was in junior high.
They had diving in junior
high?
Yeah,
I got 5th in the state, bro. I was like Greg Louganis, only I like chicks.
What state?
What?
What state?
That's literally the only thing we had in common was our oppositeness on the fact that we both wore a Speedo. That's about it. What's the Texas. I was 5th in my age group in Texas. Out of 6. No, I don't know how many were in it.
I was going to say, how many districts had diving at that age?
It's not like the time I won a bronze medal at a jiu-jitsu tournament when there were 4 guys.
Dude.
And the only reason I got the bronze was because the other guy lost to the winner.
It's all coming back to me now.
What?
So now between the diving,
the
jiu-jitsu, the medals won, this is what stemmed
what?
The background for your article last night. Because at the end of the day, you should be in the Houston Hall of Fame.
You're
for
damn
sports.
Right. As an athlete, I have met. I tell you what, I bet I have more medals than Pastorini.
See, I knew kidding. You were going to go there. I knew it. I didn't have to even do it.
You set me up for that. You let me
kinda,
walk into that. That's kinda. Okay. That's okay.
But how's your rub? Because he's got a hell of a rub and some spices too that he can
My rub is pretty good.
Okay,
it's not.
Is it
bad.
Better because of the topics today? Or will it be better for the topics
it
today?
It might be. I might go home. I may have bookmarked that video. There's no doubt about it. I may have
Fox and Friends.
That video.
Fox and Friends because you have a new friend
I'll
on Fox.
I'll be watching on Sunday. I'll tell you that.
Carissa Thompson.
Yeah.
Well, so that was some of the things you missed. If you missed any portion of the show, you can go back. You can go to ESPN975.com. You can check on the show tab, and you can catch up on the hours of the show that you missed where we talked about Carissa Thompson and the video that got out of her that she of the NFL Network and of, I believe it's Fox, in terms of their football coverage. We talked Texans. We talked Rockets. We talked NFL. We talked baseball.
Somebody texted the show and said, Barry, you need to get out more. The south of France, Spain, South Africa, all of these beaches are nude and they're amazing. So we have one creeper at least listening. We have one creep, one weirdo that's out there scanning on topless beaches or nude beaches. See, I don't know. I would do a topless beach, not a nude beach.
Of course you would.
Yeah, because guess what? At a topless beach, all the dudes, you don't have to see anything. You're going to see that if you're just at the beach.
This is the same thing when I asked you how you would react if when you walked out in the living room and Nora saw you naked, if that got out. I mean, it's the same thing. You're like, topless, you're okay. But if you're putting the goods out there.
Listen, you get me around swimming in water and then make it nude, I'm out.
Scared turtle?
I don't need you. Listen, hey.
What? Scared turtle is what we're looking at?
Hey, I've never said I was hashtag blessed, so I don't need to add water to the mix.
Or hashtag tripod.
And people staring at me? No, player, I'm out. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm all for not ever having that exposed either.
No,
so.
I'm good.
You know, some people want to put it out there.
Yeah.
You know, others, I'd rather keep it for the privacy of me and the wife.
More power to them.
I'm with you. Okay, so you're not watching the game tonight?
No, I'm going to watch the game tonight, absolutely.
Which one?
The football game.
No, you're not watching the Rockets.
I'm definitely not watching. I'll let you and Nick tell me what happened in the Rockets game.
Nick,
not
you are watching the Rockets game tonight.
I mean, I might. I might be flipping channels, and you know, I'll take a look at it. I'm obviously not going to avoid it, but yeah, I'll definitely take a look.
Nick, have you ever been to a nude beach?
Not a designated nude beach, but when I was at the Red Sea, there were plenty of women walking around.
You just
around
made it a nude beach. You just I'm getting naked.
No,
this
it's
is
just
a nude beach now.
Not at all. At the Red Sea, they just do that.
So it's a nude beach at the Red, or
no,
is it
not.
Like
it really isn't? There's kids walking by and everything.
What?
Kids walking around with the naked adults?
Yeah. When I went to the Red Sea, they were all over the place. It wasn't a nude beach, but they were nude tanning.
It is funny how in Europe and like over on that side of the world, they look at nudity in the human body completely different.
Absolutely.
Like in the UK. Women's breasts are nothing. That's not a big deal. Like just you could pick
it's
up the
newspaper.
Yeah, you pick up like the Inquirer, and they actually have a topless chick
week or something. No, their daily newspaper has one every day.
I'm moving.
It's called Page 5 or something like that.
Yeah.
Page 6.
But to Nick's point, like over there, it's just not that big of a deal, right?
No, it's not. I mean, when I went, it was mostly like Europeans vacationing at the Red Sea, and I'm genuinely not exaggerating. Moms and daughters did it together. Like I'm not even exaggerating. So it's kind of common, and when there's tourists, a lot of times they just let people be themselves, whatever culture or wherever they're from. And that's kind of how it is at the Red Sea, at least when I went.
I kind of like the idea of the mom and daughter, because then you can see into the future and be like, all right, well, that's what it's going to look like.
Or is that a win-lose proposition? Because in order to see the daughter, you've got to see the mom, too.
You're going
to
be like, okay, this is what she's going to look like naked in another 40 years.
We got a recommendation from Holly in San Diego, so maybe we should go to San Diego. Not together, but we should go check it out.
Yeah, why? I'm not going to it. We're not doing a Usual Suspects nude beach trip.
Why
I
not?
Can tell you that right now. Hell no.
No.
Neither that's, you or going.
Because then we would have to participate. I ain't doing all that.
Why not? No,
yeah, you're making it weird. I'll sit in the parking lot.
Like I said, I've already said, I'm not exactly packing a howitzer as it is, but I'm not going to be if I'm on full display.
And
so,
and there's water in the public staring at you. Nah, I'm an out. I'm out on that.
Yeah, I'm out on it as well. Yeah. Nick, have at it.
I'm secure with my body. Y'all speak
and somebody said Hippie Hollow in Austin is also a nude or a topless area. Boy, y'all are well traveled, I guess. I had no idea any of this existed. Look, man, I got to get out more.
Yeah.
I'm not living my best life, apparently.
Well, you'll,
that's all I
got to
say.
You've got time to improve on that. All right, hey, everybody, we appreciate you being a part of the show, and as we do every single day. We are at Buku wrapping things up. The Blitz is next. They're here, too. So stop by till 7 o'clock. See Fred and AJ. Grab some great food and beverage. And, again, we'll be back in the studio again tomorrow for an F Yeah Friday. Barry will have a Comedian of the Week, and we'll have lots to get to, including previewing some of the football games this weekend. For Barry and Nick, I'm Joel. You guys have yourself a great evening, everybody. The Blitz is next, right here on ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94.1.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
ESPN 97.5.